Watch this. No way!
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Cookie Jar Golf Podcast. I am Tom Mills and today I'm joined by my friend Sam Williams.
Always, Thomas. It is an absolute pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to have you with me. I'm tired.
Really tired. We haven't spent enough time together the last few days.
No, this is probably of the possible last 72 hours that we were able to be within spitting distance of each other. I think probably for 71 and a half we've been together, which has been emotional. We've been tired. We probably argued over the size of a steak yesterday. That's where the space it got to. It was very, very good though. For those people that don't know, the reason we're very tired is in the last few days we've just had our Cookie Jar Christmas mixer.
Good, wasn't it? Yeah. So as a little sort of thank you to everyone who, you know, supported and been to some of the events with us this year, just laying on a little Christmas party. It is silly season. And the party didn't disappoint. So I thought it was really, really neat to tie up with Sounder, you know, really passionate bunch of guys, Sounder Golf.
Right, bunch of guys.
You know, James, John, Dan, all of those kind of guys that are involved in that brand and stuff they do. And it was just really cool to sort of lay on a little joint Christmas party. So for everyone's benefit, we had it at Urban Golf. Now, I'm not mad on simulators. I don't know how much golf you've done of sort of sim golf.
I've done a little bit of sim golf. I wouldn't say I'm an expert in sim golf, but I've done a little bit.
Well, it was just, you know, it's a fantastic little spot in Holborn, in London. Yeah, nice food, nice drinks, and the guys very kindly sort of made the venue available for us. So it was brilliant to get people down there and just, I mean, very quickly things descended into, you know, who can hit the one iron the best into the screen.
Chaos.
You know, yeah, it was, you know, there was a lot of flexing, wasn't there? I think it's
fair to say. Yeah, there was a lot of ankle bruising going on. It was it was a strange one, like we've sort of crossed paths with the Sounder guys every now and again. There's a huge amount of crossover between Sounder and Urban Golf. With, you know, who owns what down there. And James Day, who runs Urban Golf, you know, we met him down there. We had a beer. We hit a few balls in the sim before anyone got there with an intention, actually, of recording a podcast, which we still need to do with him. Yeah. But actually, we just ended up going into the bunker at Urban Golf, which is absolute golf porn.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? His little workshop back there is absolutely incredible. It's an absolute dungeon of blades, FootJoy Classics, you know, replica clubs and original clubs from some of the greats. And you look at things like, you know, you've got things like Seve's, you know, and Sandy Lyle's clubs there, the blades. You've got the original sort of Sounder blades that
Sounder
were there.
Ones, yeah.
You know, the brand that Seve kind of repped. But yeah, we say it every time we have these events though, don't we? It's like, aren't they bloody amazing? Because isn't it good when you bring people together who are just so ridiculously passionate about golf and they're just buzzing. Buzzing. And it was really, I thought, different with this event, seeing familiarity across people who'd been to different events, who'd gone and played or played games. And it was almost like, rather than us being like the sort of host there, it was just like, you know, it wouldn't have made any difference if we were there
attendees.
Or not. Yeah.
Yeah. But before we dive into the Christmas party itself, I think we probably need to talk about the whole weekend that we've had. I mean, starting with the travel. I think getting to London from Birmingham is ordinarily quite a straightforward task, but we managed to complicate it in every single way that could be complicated. We decided to drive halfway there, jump on a train, and then train the rest of the way there. In retrospect, probably not the best idea. We had overnight bags. We had golf bags. We had boxes of merch to give away. We had podcasting gear. And
I rather foolishly thought I would take down some Bloody Mary mixture, because this is almost like a micro Course Diaries pod of Urban Golf and Rye, I think, which are at two total different ends of the spectrum. And the idea is this is a little Course Diaries almost around that context, being it was a tour. And I had this brilliant idea that, you know, we could knock together some Bloody Marys on the train on Thursday to Rye, and that would kind of kill some
time
and cure some hangovers, which is absolutely day two. But obviously, hindsight, I would have bought that in London rather than carrying around.
Considering London does, they do have Tesco's.
Yeah, yeah. Like rather than carrying like 6 liters of tomato juice, 2 liters of vodka, lemons, stirrers, shakers, pepper, every ingredient known to man. That actually weighed us down quite a bit. So that was pretty grim, I thought, the actual whole process of getting down there. And other people who may have been to Rye will also know that jacket and tie is a staple diet there. And the frustration when I arrived at the train station only to realise that I'd completely forgotten my jacket and tie was slightly disappointing. So,
well, it just means you're in for, you know, at least £300 because you've got to go... Either you're going to watch us through the window eat lunch at Rye.
So chronic, though, because I'd also taken the time of ironing everything, putting the ties on. I'd put my chinos and everything inside the jacket as well. So everything was hung over quite nicely. It was all ordered so that, you know, I could just easily kind of move through the wardrobe and not have to think about it. Which basically meant 99% of my apparel was tied up in that coat hanger that was left at home. Mm. So I was pretty much grounded.
I think you managed to turn it into my fault as well, which is really quite interesting. I think you really focused that energy on...
You just sat in the car, basically, just playing on your phone, waiting for me to carry all this stuff out of my house. I wasn't very happy, actually, for the majority of that train.
No, you were sad. You were a sad dog.
Sad dog.
You were a really sad dog.
I think just before we go any further in this pod, it's right to just a bit of a shout out to the unofficial sponsors of the pod this week. Which, you know, obviously massive thanks to Sound of Golf and Urban, you know, and I think that's quite
Tom.
Key. The unofficial sponsor, though, Charles Tyrwhitt.
Yeah, they came in.
They really came to my rescue there with some nice shirts, good bit of blazer, managed to secure a corporate discount, not quite sure how. Got us back on the road again.
Yeah, we were flying after that. And we managed to cheer you up eventually with the promise of seeing Sir Bruce.
We had a little bit of Christmas lunch, and you know what, that was really nice, wasn't it, to sit there. And we'll probably do a bit of a year in recap pod, I think
we will. Well, we need an appraisal as well.
Well that's what we did last year, wasn't it? It was kind of like the appraisals, so I think we should do that. But it was nice just kind of having a roundup and sort of thinking, you know, actually, where was Cookie Jar a year ago and where is it now? And it's absolutely incredible when you look at where that's at. And that, I think, you know, we've obviously put some work in and, you know, had a lot of fun on the way, but I think that's, you know, the biggest thanks go out to listeners, viewers, people that interact with us, people who support us and talk about the stuff around the clubhouses. Like that's the reason that people listen to this stuff and enjoy it, and it grows.
I mean, there was an element of backslapping involved. We were also thinking about and talking about the future and what we'd like to do and where we'd like to get the place. But to echo your sentiments, it is astonishing to think that we started in this room, you know, talking about Only Connect on the TV. This is how we started. Yeah. And we've had to since go back and rip so much out of it because we were just really salty. and actually, you know, we've grown and changed, and the listener numbers have gone up consistently. And, you know, we're so honored, really, that you guys would actually spend any time at all listening to...
When we see
idiots.
Some of the Spotify year in review, it's like, you know, thousands of minutes listened, and you start equating that. It's quite a significant time commitment. Just talking a little bit then about Urban Golf. So I think, you know, the vibe of the event was fantastic. Everyone's buzzing. You know, there's nearest the pins going off all the time. You know, the sound of, you know, people thumping the sim with golf balls just going on relentlessly. And people just never came up for air. But I wouldn't mind just talking about some of those clubs we had a little bash with out of James's. I would love to go back and take a closer look at it, but how hard are some of those like 1 and 2 irons to hit?
Yeah, so James has got this collection of clubs that are genuinely, you know, what you'd put down in a poor ball striker's worst nightmare. They were blades that were smaller than a pinky finger, you know, 1 irons that had sort of less help than a pinky finger. And we're taking it into the sim, and he's like, come on then. Bearing in mind, when we got there, we had a beer, we had a chat with him, and I just started shanking 8 irons down there. He's like, right, here's a 1 iron from 1972 to see what you can do with it. It was some incredible bits of kit in there, and the old persimmon woods he's got. And
you could shave with those things. And people say button irons. I actually would back myself to shave my face with one of those 1 irons.
Yeah, they were brilliant. And some of them made them out into the sims for use in the party, which is quite nice.
But I was really impressed with, like, you know, James is incredible when you talk to him about equipment, simulators, fits. You know, he has a reputation of one of the great sort of club fitters up and down the land, and he's an absolute golf junkie.
Mm. I mean, he's a nerd. Yeah, and we know a lot of nerds, but he's a nerd. He really, really likes it, doesn't he?
And that then cuts through then with all the story with Urban and Sounder and stuff. But yeah, it was, I thought it was quite interesting talking to him about equipment and learning a lot. And he was, you know, what he was talking about with things like lie angles and going flatter and flatter and, you know, actually some of the stuff that's come in with recent modern equipment and the things that's done. And I would 100% like to come back and do a little bit of,
We need to get back down there. I mean, we could always do it by Zoom, which is typically how we do guest podcasts, but I do think we need to get back down to the bunker and, you know, there's got to be some video content down there as well, because it is absolutely absurd, the collection he's got down there.
I think it would be right then to talk a little bit about Rye. Obviously, we went in April, I think it was, wasn't it, when we got down to Rye to do the film?
Yeah, I think probably April. Yeah. It seems ages ago.
Does feel like a long time ago. Because obviously there's so many places we've been since then. But how does it feel going back to Rye?
I think the second time round, I appreciated it more. We didn't have cameras in our hand, which helped. I think it was better than it was in April. I think the condition was better. Not that it wasn't good in April, but it was just smoking hot. Like, it was absolutely just in insane condition for like.
It puts a spotlight on it when you stood there 2 weeks before Christmas. You just chuck a couple of balls down on the practice putting green before we go out. Literally D-green three putts. I mean, it's unreal how quick they are. Like, I've always heard this, you know, Rye, great winter greens, Rye, fabulous greens in the winter. All of that goes on and on. They were absolutely breathtakingly quick and true. The course is in unbelievable condition. But I think going back, it does make you really appreciate some of the subtle stuff. And I always think you learn more about a course when you play it either at a different time of year, or you go back, or you play it a third or fourth time, because you hit the ball in different spots, you learn different things, you see different aspects to it. And I think sometimes a second or third visit to a course can be like, okay, yeah, I've not really learned anything new here. Rye's like this like massive rich tapestry that just keeps giving and giving. There's loads more stuff to it.
I think it was fair to say that things got a little bit dicey on the evening of Urban Golf. But then getting the train in the morning, that was difficult. Getting to Rye was ambitious.
It was tricky at first thing in the morning after a big night. But when you think, if you were in the centre of London, getting the train down to Rye, a few little stops, very leisurely, you're there in an hour.
It's quick.
You're in a different world. Like, it's amazing. Like, maybe it wasn't quite like, you know, walking in Bernard Darwin's footsteps, but you do get the feeling of what that might have been like 100, 120 years ago, with people using the train, how great that would have been if you were part of the London elite and hopping on a train, travelling down to Rye to play some nice golf on some lovely turf. You know, that would have just been unbelievable experience. And it's a long way. It's more than 2 hours by car to get to the South Coast from London. You're there in pretty much an hour. You get off the train, short taxi ride. It's worlds away from London, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think it was quite a feat, actually, to get a dozen people at
7:40
on a train.
Oh yeah,
in Marylebone, no, King's Cross.
Well, yeah. So I mean, I'm jumping around a little bit here. We'll come back to Rye, but I think that the best story of actually how we got there. King's Cross and Pancras, for those that don't know, is a sprawling mass of two train stations, multiple underground terminals. It's enormous. We're walking around there a little bit jaded at about 10 past seven. We've got a train in 25 minutes. Quite straightforward. Go and get some coffees and get to the platform. Loads of time. Then it dawns on us and we've got 4 minutes to get...
And the ice.
And
the
ice for the Bloody Marys, because obviously you can't buy that before. It'll melt. And then we're just running for the platform, running and running. And one of the other guys, Sam Cooper, funnily enough, by the way, huge success on Top 100 Golf podcast that we did in the week. He was along there with us. He's running alongside on the platform, gets to the bottom of the stairs and just goes, no, we're not going to make it. Now, we're done.
At this point, I've gone to the wrong platform. So I'm now at platform 4 and I should be at platform 13. So I think I'll run back down the escalator. I call said Cooper. I say, Cooper, where are you? I'm like, the train is in 30 seconds. Don't worry, Mills. It's over. We're not going to make it. Don't worry. Let's call it a day.
And you run up the escalator. We've seen you.
I was sprinting down King's Cross. I suddenly crossed you guys, Cooper still in full defeat. Mm. Bolted up the stairs of the platform to see the guy with the whistle like closing the doors. Mm. And we're all shouting there with our golf bags and our overnight bags.
It's quite a sight, isn't it? Four men running with Mackenzie golf bags over their shoulders, you know, in all their regalia, running down the platform.
You were in plus fours.
It's not a good look, is it?
No, let's it wasn't be honest. Good.
But yeah, I want to talk a little bit about Rye anyway. So obviously, yeah, getting there, had a great time. And I think just on the course, I just can't stress how impressive the course was. Yeah, the condition's amazing. You know, it was incredible. But I was just playing it again and the routing and the way it works with that ridge that goes through it. And we talked a little bit about that in the film, I think, didn't we? But it's a very, very clever golf course, the way it's put together.
Mm. The ridge is such a feature because you play 1, 2, 3, they're in a line, they're just below the ridge, and you pretty much get to the end of the property. And then you climb onto the ridge, turn back, and you're playing 4. Literally on the ridge, and it's tiny, like it is genuinely one of the hardest golf holes in the world.
That's mania, isn't it? Yeah. For the threes are, you know, it's probably the best collection of par threes you'll find there, and they're all different lengths and they all ask different things, and they've all got brilliant greens, and they've got this little detailing sleepers which are, you know, they're called sort of rye brows that sit around the greens.
I don't think they're officially called rye brows.
I think it's becoming official. But the hole that I think is sneaky, sneaky good is the ninth. It's the ultimate half par golf hole, isn't it?
Mm.
It's firm. You play at the clubhouse. It's very reachable for you know, the sort of the medium to longer hitter. And because it's so firm, you've got all this excitement of watching the ball run up to the green over the mounding.
Well.
Oh, it's just a...
So it's, if you are going to run it in, you know, it is rumpled. The ball can go pretty much anywhere. But it's a great golf hole. It's playing into the wind. There's dunes up on the right, so if you flare it a bit, you're a bit knackered. On the left, there's some bunkers, and yeah, it's a quality golf hole. But the place is littered with quality golf holes. It is tough to pull out, you know, one of the standout hole at Rye because they are just all great. I mean, we did manage to put it within 40 yards in our tee shot, and hole is 7-footer for bogey.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, yeah, I mean, that was an appalling putt from about 12 feet. You left me at a hideous amount there before the term in the match. But they were great. I think cannot speak highly enough of the course. The other little sort of nugget around Rye that I'd like to talk about would be the, only because it's timely with the County Down film, and I think the County Down film might be, you know, one of my favourites that you know, we've done as a collective. The Darwin sort of essay that goes into County Down and the way he talks about the club and describes it, and then going down to Rye, where he obviously lived many of his like final years, his armchair that was owned by his grandfather Charles Darwin still sits in the bay. That chair, in most parts of the world, would now be in a museum,
yeah, for sure,
with like velvet cord roping around
box.
It. Yeah, and in Rye, it's like it's a part of the club. You sit there after lunch in that chair with all these other lovely armchairs around it. And I just thought that was really neat, and it was like quite a nice little sort of, you know, it just goes full circle, doesn't it? When you research clubs and you look at the influence of people like Darwin and what he wrote about them, and then, you know, you sat there in his chair. I just thought, absolutely blown away.
But what you do find with all these things is the golf world is very small, and, you know, like these things all do link up in many different ways, and the connection with Darwin pretty much everywhere. I mean, anywhere of any significance, Darwin's had a good word to say about it, what it seems like.
Yeah, it's like the old version of Tom Watson in that regard.
Yeah, but like Rye's done a lot of good work to the club as well. They've just built their the new locker room.
Well, they're focusing on the important things, Tom. Yeah, new locker room, shower pressure. You know, there is a massive correlation with good golf clubs and the quality of showers. It's so important. Like, those showers were unbelievable. Mm. It was nice and cold out, so you had a nice warm shower when you got in. I thought I was going to go sort of, you know, like Daniel Craig, Casino Royale, where he sort of sits down in the shower and just takes it all in.
Showers are good.
I was really tempted to go that far with it. But yeah, that was beautiful.
A great job of that. They've really done a good job of that. Because the last time we were there, they were sort of in the throngs of building it. But now it's complete. It's looking great. And it doesn't look out of place. When you're doing something new to a golf club that's that old and that traditional, it's risky, it's hard to mess it up.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's easy to mess it up. Yeah.
It's easy to mess it up. And it's hard to make sure that you've nailed it. And they've done a good job of it. So.
Yeah, awesome.
And the way you can walk from like the practice putting green, the bag drop is like undercover, and then you walk through the change room, then you walk like all in a straight line, then you're in the clubhouse ready to lunch. It's just flows very, very well.
So another little piece from a few days. You and me have both joined a new golf club, haven't we?
Mm.
Do you want to tell us about it?
I can't remember what it's called.
Very funny. So when we got down to right, there's a few guys wearing these beautiful ties with little elephants on. I thought that was very nice. Someone goes, oh, is that a craft tie? And I said, what's a craft tie? I'd never heard of it. Can't remember a flipping thing. And I'm sure there's other expletives that begin with an F that might be used in other... but on the literature, the club, which is actually, it's a golf society, it's a club. And you said, oh yeah, well, you know, how does that work? Well, you pay £20 and that gives you life membership and you get a tie. You can get a tie, you can get belts, you can get merchandise. So that's quite cool. And, you know, what's the idea behind it? You know, and it's like, it's essentially there to support the charity. So it's supporting, you know, there's the lifeboat charity. You've got the Soldiers, Sailors, Airmen and Families Association. That's like a really cool, you know, sort of military charity, Save the Children. And anyway, looking on this thing, it looks like it was put together in 1991, 1st of April. It's like, okay, I've never heard of this. Turns out they've got 70,000 members.
And the first rule of craft club is find some more members of craft club.
Yeah. So you bring in four or more members. I thought absolutely brilliant. They have like, you know, they've got events that happen occasionally. So like they'll have a few events. I think it's predominantly around the south coast of England.
Yeah. But it's just all for charity, isn't
what
it?
What a brilliant nice, little
it's
thing.
It's basically just giving money to charity and getting a tie.
Yeah. But we're all in on that. And to be fair, I thought it was a really cool little logo, little elephant thing. They put a little poem in here. On the back of it. Would you like me to read it to you, Tom?
Of course I would.
You may think us daft to have founded the craft, but it gives us something to do. It came as a whim to both Tom and to Jim. It sort of flew out of the blue. We both can't remember, was it May or September? It certainly was not at an inn. 'Twas the 19th at Rye, with Andy close by, and both of us full up with gin. The club, when it started, was also half-hearted. It looked to be dead as a duck. Now 35,000 folk on, from New York to Hong Kong, we've certainly had all the luck. Thanks to all you kind folk who soon saw the joke and parted with tenors galore. More than £25,000 have gone on their rounds to the lifeboat, SSAFA and more. We've got viscounts and earls, we've got old men and girls, judges, bishops and lots of nice members. Scars and ties are still selling, our coffers are swelling, and nobody really remembers. I thought it was very cool.
Yeah, it's brilliant, isn't it?
Can't remember
very,
a flipping
very good
thing.
Indeed.
So yeah, that was a nice little...
But it wasn't the only thing that surprised you when you got into the Rye Clubhouse, was it?
You all about the Christmas card?
I'm about the Christmas card.
That was nice. Yeah, we sent a little Christmas card down, didn't we? And that was down the clubhouse. That was all very nice.
So it was on display, which was very nice, you know. You took a lot of time sending Christmas cards, and you know, personally, if I get a Christmas card, I usually go, oh, that's great, put it somewhere.
Mm, yeah, nicely sat out on the
bar. It was nicely
yeah,
put on display with a nice photograph of Prestwick.
So no, it's been a nice way to celebrate silly season. I thought it was a good little Christmas party. Very, very good fun. I think, you know, big reflections from the week, you know, things like the top 100 golf courses, when we had so many people down at the mixer and the event in the week, so many people buzzing about the excitement that has and the potential it has on the website. Feedback from the County Down film has been absolutely amazing. Loads to look forward to as well.
Feedback from the top 100. What was really nice about the mixer, and I know we talked about it earlier on, but it's quality to get just a whole community of like-minded people that just want to. It's cool, like the you turn up and you know you've got two sets of people having a beer over there that they played together in the first mixer, and then someone's over there who bumped into someone on the second mixer, and it's just it's the community that's growing around this is genuinely inspiring. And you know, thanks to you, I suppose, for all the hard work, and James on this occasion putting the event on, and you know, may we get many more.
Yeah, I think so. There's a lot more to come on it, and there's some also quite exciting news. Tigers pack. Tigers are going to be playing next weekend.
Yeah, that came
like
out
just when the
didn't
week
it?
Can't get any better.
Yeah,
you get the news that we're going to see Tiger back playing. So,
yeah, it's on the PNC, isn't it? With the top.
Orlando played it last year. We've actually got loads of coverage as well that event for obvious reasons.
It's cool for him because he doesn't have to go wailing on it. He can just sort of nobble it round, and it is competitive.
I don't think he's playing off the junior tees, mate. I think he will be going off the tips.
Well, last year, I believe they took 16 of 18 of Charlie's drives anyway.
No way.
I think so. Because it's like, I think it's a greensomes format.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think they took 16 of 18 of Charlie's drives last year. They
so played good.
It. Yeah, so it's like.
And his game will have kicked on as well, you can guarantee, in the last year as well. Like, he was playing great last year from memory.
I mean, Charlie's club twirl is genuinely, it's going around on Twitter at the moment, it's just filth. It's just, he's there, he'll hit something and he's just held the pose for ages. He does that tiger thing where he leans back and then flick, you get this twirl that drops down. It's just completely unrequired.
It's so flair, isn't it, if you can pull it off. I think you can overuse a club twirl.
No, they can't.
No,
they can
can't.
Do as many as they want.
I can. I mean, yeah. I knifed an iron into the sixth yesterday. I mean, it was right out the bottom groove, that four, and went careering through the green. Seem to remember I gave it a club twirl. I'm not quite sure why, really.
Yeah, but no, it's good to see it come back. And I think yesterday, yesterday was the day we played at Rye. And I think in total that day, I think I calculated we took 5 trains, 2 taxis, 2 buses, and drove for about 35 minutes when we.
London doesn't lend itself to a golf trip.
And we played 18 holes and lunched.
Yeah, it doesn't lend itself to a big golf trip, does it? No. It's not an easy place to get around when you've got these golf bags.
And Rye does have some quality dormy accommodation that we probably could have taken advantage of. But no, this is just a really short pod to essentially just thank you all for your support throughout the year. Thank you for the support and coming to the event. Just to wax on about how good Rye was. And I mean, we're really just really thankful and everything that we've had, the opportunities we've had this year. So
for sure.
May it continue.
And it's still down to everyone who listens. And also looking ahead to next year, I think, you know, the events are no doubt going to be a bigger and bigger part. Things like merchandise are going to start to come down now quite thick and fast.
And we're about to go do the photo shoot.
Yeah, photo shoot for some of the upcoming range.
I'm apparently going to be a model.
I know. I think you've got
we're
a
never
going to
sell a
me.
Thing.
Yeah, so there's more stuff coming. But I think, you know, if people are curious about the events, if people want to find out more, just get in touch. I'd like to think we're reasonably receptive on the inbox and the messages and stuff. We try and make sure everything kind of gets covered there. So, it'd be great to hear from more people about that. But until then...
Adios.
Watch this.